Hello, I'm Bloodied Porcelain. You may know me as the storyteller for Scion Apotheosis and Hunter Wayfarer. What you're about to hear is what we call a hype train episode for our talk show, After Dawn. After Dawn is a show where the casts, storytellers, and even artists are interviewed about their roles in bringing our shows to life. They are then released on our Patreon the Thursday following our show's original air date before becoming available to the public a month later on our YouTube channel. Hype trains, though, are dedicated to letting you, our listeners, know what to expect from an upcoming show and are always released on day one. So if you like what you hear and you want to hear more, please think about signing up for our Patreon at patreon.com/hallowedhavenstudios, or support us in other ways by visiting our website at www.hallowedhavenstudios.com, where you'll find our merch shop and all of our shows in podcast format alongside links to our various social medias. Thanks! Now on to the Hype Train episode for Scion Apotheosis, Season 3.
Friends, godlings, countrymen, lend me your coffee spoons. Welcome to After Dawn, the show where we sit down to have a cup of coffee with the cast, crew, and creators behind Hallowed Haven Studios Productions. I'm Bookkeeper, one of your two mighty co-hosts, along with the indispensable Latte.
Hello, today we're here for a Hype Train. We're going to get a little bit of a preview into Season 3 of Scion Apotheosis. It's going to be premiering exclusively on Hallowed Haven Studios, August 16th. And joining us today to preview the ongoing saga of Myth, Mischief, and Mayhem is our August storyteller, Bloodied Porcelain.
So, how's everybody doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you two?
Fantastic.
So, BP, for people just stepping into the world of Scion for the first time, or perhaps binging seasons one or two in preparation for a new 9 episodes of Shenanigans, what can you tell us about Scion and about the band of troublemakers you are guiding towards their destinies?
Oh, goodness. Scion is a game of urban mythology where the players take on the roles of the children of gods, Zeus, Odin, Osiris, the Morrigan. Gods from various different pantheons have sired children with mortal parents and have basically they have come into the birthright that comes along with that, which is their divine ichor. They're the source of all of their power. They're given birthrights in the forms of everything from pets to weapons to magic books, and are kind of put out in the world with various tasks and missions of mythic proportions in mind. In season one, we started with a crew of four, five. One of them didn't make it. Who got chased down by a pack of Fenris wolves, which are like wolves the size of cars and sometimes as big as like large, like multi-wheel trucks, multi-axle trucks, I should say, that are intent on eating Scions and specifically eating their hearts because they are the source of their power. And anytime a Fenris wolf eats a Scion heart, they get a little bit stronger. And by the end of that season, they had some revelations and some heart-to-hearts and kind of changed their plans, which led into them trying to and succeeding kind of in saving the big bad from himself and from the gods and bringing him over to the light side as opposed to seeing him fall to the dark. And he ended up becoming, I guess, a companion who is now imprisoned. And season two was them performing labors to try and shorten the duration of his stay in a divine prison. And season three will pick up from there because we didn't finish the labors last season because they spent a lot of time doing nonsense.
I hear divine prisons are so nice.
Oh, yes. Loki's cave is like the best place you could ever possibly spend your vacation. You know, the whole being tied to a rock and having poison dripped into your eyes. And
I'm sorry, it's called the Jormungandr Spa now.
Oh, yes. Okay. I'm sorry. My bad.
It's a cleansing process.
It's the best. It is. It is there to cleanse you of all your sins. Yep.
It's like an acid mask.
It washes away the blood of all the scions that you were responsible for murdering.
Peel. Get you that peel effect.
Yep.
PP, the scion.
Go ahead.
The scion group has seen a lot of cast changes, and it's been kind of hinted that there could be a few more. Who could we possibly be meeting or seeing in this new season?
Oh goodness. So there have been a lot of cast changes. We ended up having two people leave between season one and season two, and we brought on a new person plus a couple of guest stars to help fill the open slots in the party last season. And they ended with the band being three people. It ended up being Coda and Oliver from season one, and Gavin's character, Clint, who came on in season two. Season three, we are bringing on a new person who is effectively going to be a player throughout most of the season. He's going to come through about a third of the way in, give or take, and he'll be with us for the rest of the season. The only thing I can say is that he is a part of a pantheon that we have had a scion of in the past, but do not currently have a scion of now.
I'm guessing scion of Elvis.
We've already had this discussion. Elvis was a scion. He's not a god. Was not a god.
He ascended. Now he can have scions of his own.
No, he did not ascend.
Why are you gonna stomp on my dreams like this?
Because I'm a GM and that's what I live for.
Don't be cruel. Now, like you said, the Godling Squad has been laboring on behalf of getting their former enemy released from Aesir-driven torment. They spent pretty much all of season two doing that. What can you tell us? What are you willing to tell us about the dooms that await them as they try to finish their divine to-do list?
Well, there isn't a lot that I can give you that hasn't already. So the first thing I can talk about is I can talk about the current task that they're on, because we talked about it at the end of last season. It was meant to be the finale of last season, but we had some scheduling issues, so it didn't happen when we had originally planned.
And problems with the chair.
But that's for later. That's a different thing, and I'm not going into that because nobody gets to know what that means until the terrible thing happens. So we left off on the Loa labor. The Loa are about to celebrate a day where all of their dead kind of get together and party, basically, at the Baron's manse under the sea. And it's when there are packs and packs and packs of Fenris wolves who are being led by a fallen scion of hell. And their whole mission is to go out and kill as many divine things as possible. You kind of assume, because there will be scions at this party of the Loa, that they are a target waiting to happen, especially because the gods can't directly intervene if they attack. So the band has been tasked with defending this underwater island where the Baron's mansion is, to protect them from any would-be threats. Whether that be those Fenris wolves or something else just as nasty that, you know, might be a problem for them, so that Shango can have his own children at the party instead of making them be the ones who have to stand guard like normal.
Latte, pop quiz. What is the theme song for this labor? Is it Dead Man's Party Is it under the sea, or is it who let the dogs out?
My heart says under the sea.
I can agree with that.
I feel that like it's about under right. the sea. Until everything hits the fan, and then the soundtrack might do like a hard skip, and we might hear who let the dogs out.
Hear a record scratch. You might be wondering how I ended up here.
It's just like Clint jumping through a window with a spear, and then there's like five semi-truck sized dire wolves just crashing through the wall behind him. It pans over to Oliver.
As for the other labors, I can't tell you much about what they are going to be. What I can tell you is that one of them is Greek and one of them is Egyptian. And we're going to be wrapping up some of the smaller labors that the Scion, that Coda and Oliver handled solo last season. At some point this season, we will get to see like the official outcomes of those. Just to give some closure to those two storylines. My players pointed out that it didn't feel like they really got any response to them. They just did them and then we moved on. And I was like, yeah, I'm sorry. There was time issues. So I have promised that I will work in more official acknowledgements. So. And the advantage / disadvantage for the players to me having all season to only inflict three real tasks on them is that those tasks are going to be big. And complicated.
Yay!
If we try to avoid spoilers, what's one thing you're most excited for the audience to see in this new season? Is it possibly one of the trials that you've been thinking of, one of the labors, or is it more like a character introduction, or what's your piece de resistance is basically what I'm wondering.
I don't know that I have a piece de resistance for the season. I'm really excited for all of the labors, but I think the thing that I am most excited isn't even a guarantee, but it will happen if things go poorly. The players got a warning in season one when they first became Scions and they were talking to, I believe it was Net. And she kind of gave them some general rules to live by as Scions. And one of them was, if you see something specific, and she told them what it was, but people will have to go back and listen to know what it is. If you see this, you should just run. Don't try and fight, just run. And there is a chance that that might come back this season if they don't do as well as they should. Or if they ignore the warnings and information that they are given about one of their tasks.
Well, Thoth be praised that these are attentive, diligent, and detail-oriented Scions. Oh, wait.
they did spend an hour and a half in front of a door last season, and I don't necessarily know that it was because they were being diligent and attentive. So much as trying to think their way out of a bad choice that they made. So we will see.
All right. Is there anything else you would like to tell us about the upcoming season or
mechanical question if I could, because I'm
go right ahead.
I haven't really been able to get my hands on Scion and play it for myself, but I've heard the term mantle before, and it's made me really curious. I was wondering if you could maybe, because you've mentioned that there are all of these different birthrights, what's the difference between a birthright and a mantle?
Mantle is really more of a term that comes up in Scion second edition than first edition. Mantle in second edition is effectively like a title or a phrase or like a theme that you have built into how your character is going to advance and what their legend is going to look like. And you can use your mantle to empower things that you can do. Make yourself a little bit better. If your mantle is, I don't know, bringer of springtime, and your goal is to use your power to grow an entire, like, acre large garden behind, like, a country estate, then your mantle would empower that ability. It's not really a part of first edition, though. First edition instead has avatars. Avatars are things that kick in once you hit god tier, and have a lot to do with what your legend says about you and what the stories say. So if you are known for being all-knowing or particularly good at tapping into fate and the future, like Odin is, one of Odin's avatars is the Weird, because he is very good at reading the future and knowing what's coming, and manipulating that. So yeah.
I just wanted to ask, because I know it's a term that I've seen, but I've never seen it in the game, but that makes sense because we play first edition for Scion
of Apocalypse. Yes. Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with our beloved listeners?
If the players, and this is not a guarantee, as I said, they didn't finish all their labors last season, which means that I have a lot more area to run with the last three labors this season. If they manage to survive all three, we will get to see them come back in season four as demigods, which means some significant upgrades in power and gifts, birthrights.
Hi.
Indeed. I'm very excited. But they have to survive first.
It's true.
And Clint,
Clint will still be a mommy's boy.
Clint will forever be a mommy's boy. The question of whether or not the Morrigan will ever answer his texts may, in fact, get answered this season, or we may continue to have to wait.
Just
and maybe that in and of itself is the answer.
Just leaving him hanging, ghosted by your own mother. You hate to see it.
Leaving him on red.
All right. Well, that wraps it up then for this Apotheosis Hype Train episode of After Dawn. Thank you so much to Bloodied Porcelain for this preview of what to expect in Season 3. If you want more of this over-caffeinated and under-medicated dive into the people and plots of our HHS stories, After Dawn comes out every Thursday. If you want that buzz while it's at its freshest and piping hot, come find us on Patreon. For the cost of a cup of coffee, just $5, you'll get all our monthly episodes of After Dawn just as soon as they're ready to go. They'll appear on YouTube about a month later. I have been Bookkeeper.
And I've been Latte. See you next sunrise for the latest After Dawn.